Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're in our 10th year of broadcasting. My, how time flies when you're having fun, amen. It is fun to do something that you enjoy and something that benefits the kingdom of God, because Jesus said that many false prophets are gone out into the world, and there certainly are so many false prophets out there and false teachers, people that have basically sold out the gospel so they could have their 15 minutes of fame and their fortune. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? And ultimately, in the end, when you die, you don't take anything with you, and you leave everything behind for your crazy relatives to fight over, or your friends, So what do you take with you when you go? You hope that you can take some people with you, some people that maybe you've influenced over the years. And we hope and we pray that our programs are a blessing, and that we can continue this work till Jesus comes or the Lord takes me home, whatever. So, but we're thankful and we're grateful that we have this outlet right now on Blog Talk Radio. And it is a blessing, really, to be able to have this broadcast and to be able to preach the gospel from wherever you are, really, because you need a computer, you need a microphone, and you go out over the air. It's amazing, really. I don't know how it happens, but technology is a wonderful thing. We use it for our benefit in these days, because there's so many voices out there, and of course we reach thousands of people every week, but we don't reach millions, I don't think, as far as the radio broadcast. When you think of the possibilities of having a television ministry where of course, most of the false prophets and the false teachers are out there on television, and they have a large audience. And even if you ever check some of these lists that have the income of some of the bigger ministries that are more visible on television, they're the ones that people give to the most, is the ones that they could see on TV. And most of the time, they don't really care what they're preaching. They just think, well, this person's on television. So for some reason, when you're on a television network, it seems people think that you must be credible, because, for instance, the person we're going to talk about today, Paula White, and she has a new book. It's her life story. And here's a woman that supposedly took in, according to one report, in their heyday when she was married to Randy White, they supposedly took in $150 million or over $150 million. So, and here's a woman that is a total false teacher, a total heretic. I don't think she's born again, because I can't. For me, the alarm bells go off when someone claims to love the Lord and, oh, Jesus means so much to me. And then you scam people in his name for money. It doesn't compute to me. I just don't think she's a born again Christian. And none of the people that are proponents of this type of trickery and making merchandise of God's people, they can't really be saved, because the Holy Spirit would convict them. Eventually they would be convicted and they would repent. But there's no repentance that comes from this woman about her false teachings. She doesn't repent. She just keeps it up, and she just does it continually, scamming people for money by preaching heretical doctrines to take up offerings. And so it's just ridiculous, really. But if you ever look, one time I was doing a search, and they have different things on the internet that you can look at where people donate. And if you look on the list of some of the ministries, for instance, Pat Robertson's ministry, and let me think about who else. There was a couple of these people that were on the list. I guess Joyce Meyer, Franklin Graham. Oh, they take in hundreds of millions of dollars a year. A tremendous amount of money. So there's plenty of money out there. And it's not always being directed to the right people, I would say. A lot of these people, for instance, Franklin Graham, let's take him. For instance, he writes an endorsement inside Paula White's book. All about, you need to get this book, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's Franklin Graham. He's the son of Billy Graham. And, of course, in the end of Billy Graham's life, he had some questionable things, especially what he said about universalism when he was doing an interview with Robert Schuller, which you can see that video. It's on YouTube, where he basically says everybody can be saved whether they accept Jesus or not. So we know that's not true, because Jesus said himself, no man comes to the Father but by me. So Franklin Graham's organization, Samaritan's Purse, it takes in multiple millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he endorses a person like Paula White. Now, did Franklin Graham ever listen to any of her sermons, especially when she tells the men of her church? She actually had the men of her church, grown men, some football looking men, you know, big men, strong men. She actually had these men calling her mother. Could you imagine? Now, my female listeners out there, imagine going to church with your husband, and for some reason your husband leaves his brain at the door. And you go into this building, you've got this Jezebel woman, Paula White, up there. And she's making your husband call her mother. Now, would you put up with it? I don't think so. I don't know how people put up with this stuff. I really don't. Like, what is wrong with them? I have a video on YouTube, and it's called, it's on my channel, and my channel is Susan Puzio on YouTube. And I've got this video up there. It's called Paula White, Divine Mother. And Paula White, at this particular time, I don't know if this was in 2015 or 2016, but she had this yellow dress on, and it was skin tight yellow dress. And you'll see the picture. I'm not going to give a thorough description, but let me say that she had added some padding to her dress. And now, who does that? What woman of God goes to church in a skin tight dress, and then not only that, but pads the dress? There's something psychologically wrong with a person that does things like that. There really is. Because we were having a little bit of a discussion like this a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, and some women, when they stand in a pulpit. Now, I don't get into this whole thing with should a woman preach or not. I preach, and I'm a woman, and I never ever felt like I was doing something wrong. So, but I don't get into the whole thing. I just talk anyway, because God gave me a brain, and He gave me a Bible, and He gave me a mouth. Amen. So I think we should use it. But anyway, I wonder what goes through the mind of a person that goes into a pulpit and has leotards on. I don't understand this kind of an outfit now. Just a short little blouse on and then leotards. It's like, what, you forgot the rest of your dress? I don't know. But to me, there's a pulpit etiquette, especially for a woman, that there should be a way that we should present ourselves, and to present ourselves modestly. And so there were some people that were in disagreement. Oh, it doesn't really matter if she wears leotards and a top up to her thigh. That doesn't really matter. Oh, she has to be comfortable. But yet, we're supposed to present ourselves in a certain way. So when I look at these pictures of Paula White, and I see her in a low-cut dress, and she's preaching to people, and I see her in these skin-tight clothes, and especially in this yellow dress, go over and look at it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's called Paula White, Divine Mother, on YouTube. It's unbelievable. And then this woman goes around saying that. I mean, you can't make this up, because she's the spiritual advisor, supposedly, to the President of the United States. Oh, well, she really does go to the White House. Yes, she does. Yes. And she supposedly gives spiritual counsel to one of the most powerful men in the world. How that ever happened, I don't know. My take is this, and I don't have any proof of this. This is just how I see it, is that, okay, Donald Trump was watching television one night, and he saw her. And she claims that they've had an 18-year relationship. So this has to be 1999, maybe, or 2000, something like that, when he saw her, and then he decided to have his secretary call her. And I would say, even at that time, he was probably thinking about running for president. I'm sure he had planned to run for president for many years. It just was, he was probably thinking to himself, I need somebody to help me with the evangelicals. So did he think that she was the brightest bulb in the room? I don't think so. I guess he just, this is how I see it, really. because he's not a dummy. In this instance, where he puts a woman like this in a position where she goes around saying that she's his spiritual advisor and his pastor, now that's not too smart. But anyway, he's watching television and he calls her and he tells her that she has the it factor, supposedly. And she says, oh no, it's the anointing. It's the anointing. What are you talking about? What anointing? The anointing for scamming, that's about the thing. The anointing of taking scriptures out of context to twist scriptures so that you can extract money from people. Yeah, that's the game that you play, but it's not the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus never did those kind of things. He never did those kind of things. And we pattern our lives and we pattern our ministries after his life. So we go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we watch how he did things, and that's how we pattern our life. So he didn't say go around begging people for money and tell people that you're going down the drain if they don't send an offering, and if you don't give God an offering, he gets mad at you and he curses you, and you have to obey his commands by giving money to me so that God can bless you. Please, it's ridiculous. I can't even believe people believe this stuff anymore, but they do, because these people take in multiple millions of dollars. And if people didn't buy into it, for instance, it was Paula White, if people didn't buy into it, she wouldn't be on television because she couldn't afford it. She's not going to spend her money on television. She'll spend her money buying a condo at one of the Trump buildings in New York. That she'll spend her money on. She'll spend her money on buying a million-dollar house. And a Lamborghini that she bought, she'll spend her money on that. But no, she's not spending her money on ministry. No. No, she wants you to give your money to her so she can spend your money so she can lie to you. But like I said, I can't even believe it. It's so bizarre that you can't even believe it, that this would be the person that goes around and says that they're the spiritual advisor pastor of a president. But Gene Dixon was an advisor to presidents, and Gene Dixon was a psychic, a well-known psychic back in the day. This was years ago. Probably some people don't remember who she was, but she was an astrologer and a psychic, and she counseled presidents, and so did this lady named Quigley, who counseled Hillary Clinton, and we know what she's involved in. And they had seances. They've had seances in some of the years gone by with some of the presidents, and Nancy Reagan, and you know, remember Ronald Reagan? He was supposed to be a Christian, and they were holding these, having an astrologer come and counseling Nancy so she could counsel her husband. So, just because somebody says that they're a spiritual advisor, that doesn't really mean that much, except that in the eyes of the world, it could, and then in the eyes of some people in the church, it could too. So, I think he probably contacted her because he wanted it into the evangelical world. And he probably never listened to her sermons. I'm sure he didn't waste his time listening to her. He listened to her enough to probably take notes. And then she says that he repeated three of her sermons verbatim. Oh, yeah, I know. He was on the phone with her for 3 hours. Repeating her sermons because they were so enlightening. Stop. Anyway, that's her story. But I think he was just lining her up to use her to get the evangelical vote, not knowing really that most evangelicals don't like this woman. Probably many people don't even know who she is because they don't pay attention to her. And now she's come out with this book and she's all over the place because she says, well, it took me 9 years to write this book and I put it off. And the timing is kind of suspect to me because I think she wanted to put this book out now because she wants to capitalize on her relationship with the president of the United States. So the time for her, this was a good time to put it out. And she claims it took her 2 years to write. Well, I guarantee you, now I have no proof of this at the moment. I know she's had ghostwriters in the past because she did not write this book. She might have written an outline and she might have put some things down on tape or whatever, but putting this book together? No, she didn't write this book. No. Okay, if I'm wrong, that's okay. Paula, you can write me, you can email, whatever. But you didn't write this book. You had a ghostwriter help you, or you had somebody helping you, because your English, number one, your English isn't that good. Even when you talk about opioids, you say opioids, and there's certain words that you can't pronounce. So your English isn't that good. So you didn't write this book. And anyway, you had help. And there was someone that made a comment on one of the news stories that came out with people that were critiquing the book. And there was someone on there that said that he had been a ghostwriter for her in the past. So, but he didn't comment on whether she wrote this book or not. But most of these people, famous people, they have ghostwriters, and they have people that help them if they have anything on tape. They give the tapes to them, and then they go through the tapes, and then they help them write books. But writing book. Now, my book, I wrote my book. Nobody helped me write my book. I wrote it, and I feel this way. There's nothing wrong with having an editor go over your grammar and correct your errors and make suggestions. There's nothing wrong with that. But writing, if you're going to put your name on a book, you have, and you wrote it, you put your name on the book and you say you wrote it. But if you didn't write the book and you had a ghostwriter, you need to be honest and say, I didn't write the book. I had help. I made the outline and whatever, but as far as 100% writing this book, I didn't do it. Just be honest. But a lot of them aren't. They want you to think that they wrote these books. But that's it. Jackie Elnor knows a lot about this, being a journalist herself. And doing investigative journalism for many, many years. And she's done investigations of these books that have been ghostwritten. And people claim that they wrote the books, but they didn't. Even, I think, the Left Behind series wasn't really written by Tim LaHaye. I can't remember the name of the man right now that really was the writer of the books, but anyway, I think the timing of her book and the fact that she does devote quite a bit of space in the book to her relationship with Donald Trump, but I personally don't think that he spent a lot of time watching her sermons and watching her scams. And just like Robert Jeffers, the pastor of First Baptist in Dallas, when he endorsed her book and then there was a big uproar about it, and he was interviewed by Julie Royce of the Royce Report, an investigative journalist who's very, very good, by the way. he said she called him and he spoke with her on the phone. And he said that he's never investigated Paula White. He's never looked into her. In fact, he never even really read the book. But yet he endorses it and tells other people to write the book. She tells him that she's not really guilty of what everybody says about her as far as preaching the prosperity gospel. I don't like to call it the prosperity gospel. I like to call it con artist gospel, scamming people gospel, huckster gospel. Prosperity gospel, it's kind of a label that people don't really know what to make of it. But huckster, scam artist, con artist, Ponzi scheme, these kind of things people understand better. So I really think they need to change the terminology, because even in some of the descriptions of her and talking about her teaching the prosperity gospel, they say, well, she teaches that God promises you that he'll give you health and wealth, but they don't go into depth into her scamming and into her mafia-like techniques that she likes you to believe that Jesus and the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, sit up in heaven. And if you don't pay them off, they're not going to bless you. They're not going to do things for you. Just like, you know, the mafia don, if you don't pay him his share, he's going to come and he's going to throw rocks at your windows. They're going to come shoot the place up, whatever. You know, if you watch those Elliot Ness movies or whatever, and you didn't do what the mob wanted you to do, and you had to pay your dues. Well, that's what Paula tells you. She tells you that if you don't celebrate the Day of Atonement by bringing God an offering, that you're not going to have all the blessings, the miracles and the healings, and the, you might not get a husband and your kids might wind up on drugs. So anyway. But we're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to do my review of, now I've probably read, I would say, 75% of the book. And I also read most of the book. Her husband, Jonathan Cain Friga, their name is Friga. It's not Cain. It's a stage name. It's not a legal name. She's not going to call herself Paula Friga. No. She doesn't like that name. She calls herself Paula White Cain, and that's really not their name. Like I said, it's a stage name. And his real name is Jonathan Friga. I believe that's his legal name. So she doesn't even want to be honest enough to call herself by her real name. She wants you to think that her name is Cain. And it's not. But anyway, the book, and it's really, I don't understand some people when they make these, some, most of the book did get panned, I would say, by most of the news services that carried it. But there's people out there, of course, that, oh, it's such a great book, and Paula just goes through her life and how God gave her. Look what God did for her. Well, it basically, it's a self-serving book, because she does talk about herself. Even she even makes this one statement in the book that is so bizarre. She says that a prophet told her that God was going to use her beauty. What does that have to do with? Have to do with anything? Trust me, once you hit 50, it starts going downhill. Things start going downhill. That's just the way it is. You can't stop the aging process, no matter what you try to do, no matter how many Botox injections you get, no matter how many lip fillers you get, you can't stop the aging process. Eventually, it catches up with you. And then if you're not careful, already, if you look at Paula White's face, it's already so distorted. Her bottom lip is all crooked and hangs over. from too much Botox or lip filler or whatever she does. And her face is all, she looks like she just came from the wax museum. That's how bad her face looks if you look at it close up. And how vain can you be? There's nothing wrong with trying to make yourself look good, whatever, if you want plastic surgery. Okay, that's your business. But to get to the point where your face starts looking distorted, then something's wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And then by the time you hit 70, you really start falling apart because you're old. You can't, there's not too much you can do. You just have to accept it and try your best to live with it, you know. But to be so obsessed with the way you look, and one of the things she talks about having foot surgeries. Okay, so she had 3 foot surgeries, and the ironic thing about having these foot surgeries recently is that I think she said or her husband said that the doctor told her it was because of the shoes she wears, and she wears these stilettos, and there would be no way you're getting me in a pair of shoes like that. No, I like comfort. I'm already past the stiletto stage. Just give me comfortable shoes. And especially if you're going to be standing for any long period of time, you start putting stress on those arches and whatever. Your feet just aren't made to go into tall 5-inch pointy shoes. Eventually, you're going to have foot trouble. And so, like I said, it was either her or her husband made the statement that it was because of her shoes that she had this foot trouble. So she has 3 surgeries on her feet, and her foot was falling apart, but she still won't stop wearing the shoes. She's right back to wearing the shoes. It's like, I don't know. There's something, like I said, there's something wrong. I mean, it's got to compute. What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing? So there's something wrong with this woman. There's definitely something going on psychologically that when, I don't know what happens when she looks in the mirror, or like you can't figure out, you were tortured with 3 foot surgeries and it was painful. They had to put her foot back together, and yet you go right back to wearing shoes that are going to injure you. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But anyway, so like I said, I've read through most of the book, and it's a self-serving book. It's all about her, but she wants to tell you that it's really about you. And she's going to show you how God took her broken life and he gave her something greater. And now she's got fame and she's with the president and she's got this new husband and she has all these things. But you don't have anything because you don't have Jesus. You can't tell the truth. You're still scamming people. So you don't have anything greater. You blew through $150 million. Your church has wound up bankrupt, the 2 churches that you had before without walls in Tampa. Now, I live in Florida. I live an hour or so away from Tampa, and I've been here for many years. So I follow the local ministries to some extent to see what's going on. And I've been over there. I was over there a couple of times to Without Walls in Tampa. And I rode over to the piece of property that they had in Lakeland, Florida. They had over 60 acres that they bought there with a big, huge 10,000 seat church building. And you can go on YouTube. You could look at some of my videos that I took of the condition of the buildings. In 2011, the electricity was turned off in Lakeland because they couldn't pay the bill. Now, how do you go from having, you want to tell me about something greater, and I don't see anything in your book where you take any accountability for your financial mismanagement, that you couldn't pay your electric bill after you took in $150 million. I was there. I took pictures. I did the reporting. I reported on it in my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? I've got about 40 pages of documentation or what I saw and what I observed through this debacle when their ministry was falling apart. And I saw the condition of the buildings, especially the one in Lakeland. They abandoned that building. They abandoned it totally. And it was being vandalized for 3 years. The air conditioning system was ripped out. The drywall was being torn out. The pews were being ripped out. You can't believe what happened to those buildings. This is a 10,000 seat church building, and it was formerly Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida, where Rodney Howard Brown came and had these so-called revival meetings. Anyway, Paul and Randy bought it from the Straters, and they left it abandoned, totally abandoned. You can't believe there was a whole room full of clothes. Oh, they want to talk about giving to the poor and needy. There was food left over in there, pianos, communion trays. I saw someone went in there and they took pictures. There was like 100 communion trays that were just strewn all over the floor. And it was horrible. But for 3 years, they refused to pay for security so that the buildings wouldn't be abandoned. I went over there, and also I had a friend that went over there, and I called Without Walls to talk to Randy in 2011 to tell him that I was going to ask him, don't you know your buildings are being vandalized? And I didn't get him on the phone, but I talked to his father, who was alive at the time. I said to him, I said, don't you know that your buildings are being vandalized over there? Oh, thank you for telling us. But they never did anything about it. They just continually left those buildings. People were sleeping in the buildings. There was mattresses. Anyway, if you want to see the videos, are on YouTube. And there's also two other very good videos about the history of this place. And there was one, abandoned buildings, and they talk about a church in Lakeland, Florida. And you'll see there was people that actually went inside these buildings and took pictures of the destruction that the whites left behind. And meanwhile, you know, Paula's talking about she's got this place at Trump's building and she's got this, blah, blah. And this is how they left the building itself and the property with 60 acres, it was worth probably over $10 million, $20 million, I think, at one time. But they didn't pay their electric bill. And so eventually the plumbing burst and people were stealing the copper, and it was a mess. But so, like I said, she doesn't really write what I saw in the book. She doesn't really talk about it. She likes to kind of bypass that part over the total financial mismanagement. Who knows where the money went, but anyway. You can go to YouTube. You can look at, if you put in Carpenter's Home Church, or you put abandoned buildings, Lakeland, Florida, Carpenter's Church Without Walls, you'll see for yourself. I made a couple videos, but there was two other videos. One that was especially a good video with the people that have gone inside there, the language is not good. These are not Christian people. They go in there and they're talking about buildings and they don't use good language, but you can turn the volume off if you want and just look at the pictures and see the destruction that they left behind. And eventually that building went into foreclosure, and it was bulldozed. It was flattened. They couldn't save the building. And so the people, the bank or the credit union that they borrowed the money from, you know, they had to take a big loss because they owed, supposedly they owed this credit union $20 million. And so I think they borrowed $8 million or $9 million to buy this place, and they never paid it back. They wound up, the credit union wound up selling it for $2 million at a foreclosure auction, but that's how they left this place. The one in Tampa didn't fare very well either. Paula doesn't really like to admit that she flew out of there because the ship was sinking rapidly, and eventually they filed for bankruptcy without walls, Tampa, and that place too was bulldozed. There's not even a trace of it anymore. And who did that? The devil didn't do that. God did that. God wiped the two places off the face of the earth, and that was the end of it. He wiped out. They had an administration building that was four stories high in Tampa. That was bulldozed and deserted. That's where her television studio was. So, and God is not mocked. If she was really, you know, repentant, and she came clean about all her scamming and apologized to the body of Christ, then we could accept her. But the fact that she offers no apology at all for her financial dealings and the way she treats God's people, then we cannot accept her. We have to reject her. But anyway, I'm going to play some of these. Let's listen to her. Like she likes to say, people call me a heretic, but I'm not a heretic.
To think about this, know ye not that you're the temple of God. What he was dealing with, and I'm going somewhere, he was dealing with sectarianism. He was dealing with, listen, you want to know what destroys? Because there's not 10 brides. There's not 50 brides. Oh, I'm going to go real. Listen, you guys know I'm so bold, I'll go out there right now. There is a man, he's a theologian for the largest denomination in America today. He called me a heretic. That's serious accusation. That's to say I deny the Trinity. Just to put on record, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity. You know what I said? I said, there's not a lot of churches. There's one church. I said, bring me before the whole church. Bring me before the church. I'm saying it public to the world right now. Your convention's coming up. Bring me to the church. Judge me. If I'm a heretic, you have to excommunicate me according to the word. If I am not, you've got to deal with the person that called me one, because he's brought division within the body of Christ. Y'all going like this, like you scared, like you want to hide out at City of Destiny. I'm not hiding out at City of Destiny. I am the church of Jesus Christ. I am the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ in Africa, in South America, in Washington, D.C., in the White House, in Orlando, in Apopka. I am the bride of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel and the power thereof. Y'all like,
ooh,
she's bold.
She's bold. Well, let's hear Paula. Let's hear some of Paula's teachings here. Let's see if any of this is heresy.
There's always some kind of financial fallout. I mean, you'll make money, but it seems like as soon as you make it, it's just gone. Or with relationship, you keep getting the same package or the same gift in a different package. And like, why do I get a relationship but I can't keep a relationship? Or why is there so much divorce in my family? Or sickness. Maybe it's like this cycle of sickness. You know, there's ways to break cycles. The Bible is very clear about generational blessings and generational curses. It's really clear about how God has desired to interrupt the cycle and bring blessings to you, to your seed, to generations to come. But it's also clear how when we don't do anything according to the Word of God, either through disobedience or just sheer ignorance, and what I mean by that is we don't know any better, that those cycles keep perpetuating themselves, and we just think it's life when really there's more behind it because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. So you're entering into a holy time. And this holy time is an appointment that God set up. It's the Day of Atonement, and it is the fall feast seasons. It includes tabernacles and trumpets. Trumpets is where God sends this clarion call, like, hey, stop. I want you to examine yourself. Because atonement is his most holy day. It is the absolute most holy day. And Jesus became our atonement. And what he's offering to us is an opportunity to really stop and recognize and foster, which are fundamental to our faith, to say, I don't have to stay in this demonic cycle. Jesus came to interrupt it. I like to think of atonement as at one with God, atonement. Now, the Old Testament meant to cover. We know that Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world. He laid the axe at the root problem. So when we align ourselves with God's holy day, because God has a calendar, and we can say, well, I don't know anything about that. Okay, well, you can continue to stay in that, and you'll continue to live in those cycles. Because there are spiritual laws that work for us or work against us. Or you can interrupt it. It's just like this. If a woman, so spiritually, it's like, not saying, yes, you have got to put a seed in it, but there is something about when we stop and we pray and we fast and we give. There's things that Jesus clearly said to us to do. He carried forth the divine appointments all throughout the Word. So did the early church. That's why they were so powerful. So I really encourage you to look at your life right now, yourself, and to come on God's calendar. If it's important to God, it must be important to us. And watch what will happen, because at one with God gives you an ability to break the demonic cycle and start the God cycle. Because as we bring a $207 seed in this seventh year, 2000, I'm believing, God, that your name will be written in the book with benefit and blessing, and that according to Joel chapter 2, as you present this to the Lord, he declares seven blessings over you with at one man. And I said at one man, atonement. He said financial prosperity, a double portion, deliverance to all those that call upon the name of the Lord, God's presence.
Yes.
There will be special miracles, your sons and daughters. God says, I have things for you that are going to come your way because you do it my way. I know that God has supernatural blessing for you.
You can release all the promises of your covenant with God beginning on his most important day of the year, October 9th, the Day of Atonement. Call toll-free, write to Paula White Ministries, or visit paulawhite.org.
So this facilitates the restoration that Joel talked about, that I've been teaching you of all things that have been promised us. Remember how we've been going through how Joel was really a type and shadow of a last day outpouring. But there are eight promises that when we honor, and I'm going to give them to you quickly, I'll teach them to you in depth. But I know everybody likes the promise, but I've got to take you through the process. But can you want me to give you the appetizer of the eight promises? So when we get to, when we do what God says, then he says all these things are going to come on you. And in Joel chapter 2, we already know that the years that the locusts have eaten will be restored to us. So restoration includes increase. It includes revelation. I'll break it up scripturally for you. It includes a fresh anointing. It includes God's power of miracles. It includes restoration, financial abundance, no shame but deliverance, and God's presence. How many of you want some increase, some revelation, some fresh anointing, miracles? Come on, restoration, financial abundance, no shame but deliverance, God's presence. Well, if we want the promises of God, then we have to do this the way God says. This is not Burger King. This is his church.
You don't stand before the Lord empty-handed, but those three times a year, which were Passover, Atonement, and First Fruit. In this holy season, there is much we can learn about the three seasons that are wrapped together during an eight-day period of time. Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and First Fruit.
Yeah, just send a little offering over here and God will give you all those things. And yet, then she says, I'm not a heretic. What? Yes, you are a heretic. Yes, you are a heretic. Why do you think people tell you you're a heretic? Because they don't like you. They don't like your hair color. What is it? They just don't know what to do with themselves during the day. So theologians and men and women of God come out and say you're a heretic. You preach another gospel. You preach a false gospel. There is absolutely no documentation in the New Testament of, and you notice how she throws these little things in there about the early church and about it's God's most holy day. Well, there's no record in the New Testament that I ever saw of anyone celebrating the Day of Atonement by giving God money. There's no record of it. There's no record of Jesus ever celebrating the most holy day by collecting money. It's not there. And if it's not there, then you're a heretic. Plain and simple. Like, get the message already. Get the message. Jesus never did anything like that. The apostles never did anything like that. Remember when, who was it? Was it Peter and John and somebody came up to them and wanted to give them some money so they could get the Holy Ghost, so they could get something from God? What did they say? Don't give me any money. You don't have to give me any money. Oh, no, but Paula, why Cain Frigo wants to tell you that you have to give some money over here to get God's attention. Otherwise, if you don't celebrate the most holy day and celebrate these feast seasons, then you miss out with God. He just passes over you. Well, what does God say? Even in the Old Testament, and if you look at Isaiah chapter 1, this is a great chapter. And let's start at verse 12. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. And that is evil. It's evil to tell people that Jesus has to have money to do things for you. That is evil. Learn to do well, to seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yeah, if you follow what the Lord's commands and stop listening to heretical teachings and throwing your money, you might as well go play bingo or the lottery or go down to the gambling casino. It's the same thing. You know, it's like you put your money down on number 5 when you go play bingo. And if number 5 comes up, you know, bingo, you get some money back. God's not like that. God's not like that. Jesus Christ, remember, the only begotten Son of God came down to earth. He laid down his life. He gave up his life. He died for us. You can't buy that. There's not one blessing that you have to buy from God. Nothing. All you have to do is pray and ask. And if God wants to give it to you, he'll give it to you. If he doesn't think that you can handle it, he's not giving it to you. He's not going to do it. Just like any good father or any good mother, you only give your children what they can handle. You're not going to give them things that's going to damage their life. And if you want prosperity, get a job, you know, work and save your money. Don't buy things that you can't afford. They want to tell you, they always want to tell you that, how to get prosperity. The best way to get prosperity is to get a good job, go to work every day, save your money, try to get an education and do something where you can even get a better job. But that's how you accumulate wealth. Maybe somewhere along the way, someone will be kind to you and give you something. That might happen in your life. But God is not dropping money down from heaven. There is no window in heaven that he's opening up to drop down money. There is no money in heaven. There's no money there. It's just not there. The money is here on earth. And the way you get it is hard work. And like I said, so maybe somewhere along the way, somebody will bless you. But there's no magic formula to obtaining wealth. You know, ask anybody that has accumulated wealth, and somebody had to work somewhere along the way. Even if people inherit the money, somebody somewhere had to work to accumulate the wealth. So anyway, let's listen to she didn't do anything wrong.
The height of success for Paula White Ministries.
Yes.
It's bringing out millions and millions of dollars, which means it's reaching billions of people.
That's right.
47 different networks broadcast, 10 million people getting
everybody
saved.
Thought you were on top of the world.
Oh, Jim. I mean, in some ways you go, yeah, you are. No, I'm not.
Right.
I was at the
but you have a gift. I really want to say this.
See that?
You are called of God, and you know that.
Amen.
I know that. She has a gift of ministry.
Yes.
Mona's great. I would say this, and I'm not trying to pump you up. You are truly the greatest woman preacher I have ever heard.
Amen.
And I believe with
huge.
All my heart.
That's huge.
And I've seen and heard the best.
Yes.
You have a gift.
Yes.
And your gift doesn't leave you when your marriage
Amen.
Breaks up. It doesn't leave you when the FBI comes to try
That's
to
right.
put you in prison. She won all that, by the way.
Yes.
But this is why I want you to read this book.
Yes.
And I'm really, really angry by what happened to you. Because I've been there and done a lot of that.
Yep.
And God never throws us out.
Amen.
God didn't take her anointing from her.
Amen.
And this book is so amazing. Yes. And listen. I've always respected you.
Yes.
But I really.
Yes.
You are 10 foot tall right
yes.
now. At that you put everything in here.
Yes.
You put the stuff that we all want to cover up
Amen.
In the book.
Mm-hmm.
But millions and millions and millions of Americans are going through this valley of the shadow of death right now.
Amen, Jim.
But you've come through it. And I want everybody to get the book. I just got to say it right now because our time's going to be gone for this show. And I want everybody that's watching me to order it today. This is how we support our TV ministry, as you know, when you order a book or something. Now, you're not only getting the book for $30, you're getting the DVD. Here's the DVD.
It all out. And I've never, ever done this, Jim. But I felt like I needed to do this for every one of your partners because I believe in your ministry. I believe in you. I know God is going to minister to you. I know that his hope, your story's not finished because God
right.
will write it. And I don't want to leave people in just the mess because God didn't leave me in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
It was all preparation because just like you said, what was crazy about that time is, yes, the anointing's there. I lost 30-something pounds when went into a deep depression. You know, I'm believing God for my marriage. I find out that my son's a crack addict. He was an atheist. He's now one of the greatest preachers, most powerful voice. He had been abused by a church member. I find out, I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, we get attacked in every area that you can imagine. But God had given me a prophetic word and said, everything around you will be shaken.
Yes.
And everything around you will fall, but you will remain standing and emerge with strength. And I'm telling you, it is not over for you.
Right.
You need our brokenness,
right.
But you're not even qualified until you walk with a limp.
That's it.
You're not even material until you've been processed. And what I went through, Lori, I kept going, because I thought, like, I go, and I took ownership, and I take ownership for the things I did wrong.
You say that. You say.
And I'm like, here's where, you know, it's like, I felt like I was being punished over here, like, you did this wrong, and I'm going, no, my hand's not in this cookie jar, but it was in that one, you know, and you feel like, okay, why am I going, and I said, God, I said, why? What did I do wrong? Because Miss Doty had wrote about writing letters of forgiveness. I'm like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. And he said, and the Holy Spirit whispered and said, what if you didn't do something wrong? You did something right.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everyone to know.
Yeah.
Who maybe life isn't working the way you think it should be. Maybe your heart has been shredded and ripped and bleeding and you think it's over. Maybe you are in that pit like Joseph. Maybe
she didn't do anything wrong. She said, well, I don't know, what God were you talking to? What, you were talking to some strange God, that's for sure, because what God were you talking to when you asked the Lord God of the universe? You asked him if you were doing anything wrong? And he told you, no, you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing, what if you're doing everything right? What? Please stop that. That is an insane statement. It's insane. I just played that audio of her collecting atonement offerings, telling you that you have to give God money to get all these blessings. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. Never mind. For years upon years, and she still does this in January, but I remember watching one of their television broadcasts years and years ago. And as a matter of fact, when they first started on television, it was mainly Randy. He used to preach from the church there. They used to show their Sunday services. And so then later on, it was all about Paula. And I'm sure she says in that audio that they were on 40-something networks. Well, do you know how much money they were spending on television time? She claims that she built a $10 million television studio there. And so to be on 47 networks, so that might have been where some of that $150 million. Now, how do you take in $150 million? You're on 47 networks. You've got two big pieces of property, and none of the buildings were paid for. They were all mortgaged. Everything was mortgaged. Even the house, the million-dollar house that they bought in Tampa was mortgaged. And so they didn't have any equity really in anything because everything was mortgaged. And yet, according to a document that came out, a financial document during the Grassley investigation, I think they took in something like $34 million. Now, I might be wrong about the amount, but something, I think they took in $34 million 1 year, and yet they were $36 million in debt. How do you do that? Except if you're stupid. The book should be called Something Stupid. How do you blow through that much money? Something weird was going on, that's for sure. But it was all about lust. It was all about greed. But no, when she asked God if she was doing anything wrong, God told her, no, maybe you're doing everything right. She's delusional. And I mean, she's still delusional. She's still delusional. She doesn't have a clue. Right, let's hear more delusion. Let's hear more delusion.
The city of destiny will be built. Story Life will come forth as one of the greatest churches, recording in the annals of history books to change generations. You will get a biblical worldview. You'll know what God has to say to you. If you would say, Pastor Paul, I've struggled.
She's going to be to her church over there that supposedly she doesn't pastor anymore, or pester, I like to say, the one where she appointed her son. And it's going to be in the history books. It's going to be in the history books, yeah. No, I wouldn't be too concerned about what's going to be in the history books, because it's not going to be what you think. But here's another prideful statement from Paul about history books.
Said when he was reading it, it's a page turner. He couldn't. Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
This is, it's a page turner. You don't want to not get it. Everybody's going to want to this book.
This is, I think, your favorite book of all times.
I got to tell you, it, honestly.
I'm serious. And, we have a lot of books.
We do.
We have a huge library. Lori has already read this book. She loves it so much. She's read it twice.
Right.
And she's told it to me a dozen times. Every detail of it. She said, do you realize what she said? She told this and she told stuff. She said, I thought she'd never tell this.
Yep.
You've told it all in this book.
Well, you know what? Here's the only way I know how to be, is very authentic, very real, very open, very raw. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most rewarding thing I've done. It took me 9 years, 2 years to write. And I felt like I needed to land, because as you know, Jim, there are times that, you know, people have perceptions of you. And I thought real ministry is out of my brokenness, out of the places I bled. And people thought, you know, certain things, with which some thought good, some thought bad, whatever the opinion was.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to tell, this really isn't my story, it's God's story.
It is. Wow.
And then it's all of our story. And I didn't want to say, okay, let me just show you the successes. Let me show you the great times. No, there was a whole lot more messy, scary, went through depression. My daughter that I'd raised, it was Randy's child, died of cancer, went through an ugly, messy divorce that people just see on the surface, but there was years I was believing God, like I would be the exception. My childhood, my father committed suicide. My mother's an alcoholic. I mean, very educated, two masters and a doctorate. So it's not like I come from this, and then I'm cut off. I live in a trailer. God, I get radically saved. I mean, there's so much in there. Trump's in there. Michael Jackson's in there. Kid Rock's in there. I mean, people, it's like, they're like, oh my gosh.
Right. I was told,
Jesus
what
is in there?
I was told she was supposed to preach his funeral.
I was.
And you would have the moment in history to reach
millions.
Multitude of millions at
I
that moment.
I missed it, Jim.
Did you watch her on the inauguration?
Yes.
Huh?
So proud. So honored.
What did you think?
Great.
Well, I'm jumping all over the place, but this fits together. You prayed the most awesome prayer.
Yes.
Jesus has never been mentioned as many times in 10 minutes as when you were praying.
Right. We had five of us invoke the name of Jesus over this nation, where before people like Franklin Graham and some of my dear friends were being sued for invoking the name of Jesus over this nation. So it was surreal, but it really is leading up to it. So he is now President Trump. Well, then was President-elect Trump. I walk into his office. Bannon was in there, Jared, Reince, all these people. And he says, Paula, you're in the inauguration. And I said, well, thank you, sir. I'm very honored. I said, but you know, I know you. And I said, our nation really is a place that needs healing. And I said, why don't you have a true evangelical? I said, why don't you have a Hispanic, an African-American? Why don't you have a Catholic, a rabbi? He goes, I love that. And they're like, everyone's looking around and goes, that's pretty brilliant. I said, that's just Trump-esque. I said, that's what our president would do. And so that's what he lined up. And he goes, well, you're praying this. And so we get up, and five of us. Now, whether people understand it or not, when we prayed and you invoked the name of Jesus, Job 22:28 says, whatever I decree, whatever I declare shall be established. So I had been running, and I tell all about this. I tell details of it, like the inauguration and like all the things that we had to run through, because I was overseeing all of his services, his faith services. So there was the private one, there was the public one at the cathedral, and the family one was just so precious. It was amazing. There was the prayers, the inauguration. There were all these faith things that, you know, they're like, but I'd get a last minute notice, 2 a.m., oh, change locations and have 60 people instead of 7 people. And, you know, you're trying to wake everyone.
She's going to be in the history books. Yeah. There'll be a caveat after If anybody ever writes it in the history books, which I doubt seriously anybody's going to mention you in the history books, and if they do put your name in the history books, there will be a caveat after it, and it will say, female con artist, preacher, or huckster, prays at inauguration. You won't escape it. It's going to follow you. It's going to follow you until you repent. It's going to follow you. So I wouldn't be bragging about your name being in history books, because history will record it for what it is. Anyway, here's more of her testimony.
Called trailer trash. Daddy committed suicide, got pregnant out of wedlock, been married, been divorced, not just once, you know, twice. I mean, all this, not everything that people said disqualified me, everything. But God said, I have called you to shake nations. And I'm standing there, the most powerful nation in the world, invoking the name of Jesus. And I said, I don't care what they say about me. History will have to write that it was a woman of God, a female clergy, that history will record the name Paula White Cain prayed for the first time as a female clergy over this nation.
Yes, powerful.
It's all in the book. You're the first woman, the first clergy, a woman that's ever prayed at inauguration. Paula.
Ever. Was like, and Lori.
You'd think the woman's
God livers
would have been thrilled.
Oh, are you kidding me? You would think. Okay, so let's go there.
Yeah.
You ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So right after I pray and I write about this, I mean, I really.
It's your story, Paula, and you. Thank you for being so raw and so open. And
thank you.
It's going to probably shock a lot of you.
No, it's
but,
not, it's time.
It's fact.
It's time for this story to be told.
You through her story. You minister nonstop. That's because that's who you are. And here's what I love the very most about you is I love how you love Jesus.
Amen.
I love how you love him.
Amen.
How you're so in love with him.
Amen.
That when all else fails, we have him.
Amen. And you know, Lori, it was people have often said to me, because I, you know, there were times like I thought when everything was falling apart, and it goes into 2002, I'm writing in my journal, I say, can life get any better? And then 2003, all hell begins to break loose. We get a knock on the door. It's the FBI. It's the criminal IRS. And I'm like, they go, is your husband here? I'm thinking, my God, what in the world? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was scary. And most people don't want to ever talk about this, but we wouldn't find out till years later. We'd come against pornography so hard because Tampa was a real hub for Girls Gone Wild, Hooters, voyeurism porn. And so we had come against it hard because there were 3,000 zones for pornography. Well, I didn't realize, now I recognize God was preparing me for such a time as this, but I didn't recognize how, when I say they play. And so we had come to city council. They had changed their vote. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. I don't know if people remember the 6-foot ban on lap dance, but that was really us involving for, you know, business and churches and schools to be able to expand. So here they are knocking on our door. We're cleared and exonerated in 6 months, but it was, I mean, which is almost unheard of, but it was absolute, I mean, you're afraid, you're fearful. Randy ends up, and this is really what started it. A seed got planted in Randy at that time. I said, what happened? Mm-hmm. He said, I felt like the community I served turned against me. Mm-hmm. And that bitterness got in there. He has a complete breakdown. He has a stroke. Then the door gets open to drugs, to Valium initially, and it becomes harder. And he's told his story, ultimately heroin, totally addicted, strung out. And as we know, that often opens the door to many other things.
Yes.
And so you want to find soothing and comfort, and it opened the door to women and everything else. But I'm believing God, you know, just God, I'm going to be the miracle. Like, we're going to make it. This is going to be the one. And so, you know, it wasn't like I didn't know that. I knew it was rocky. I mean,
You know, I'm going to play this clip now. This is one of the most famous Paula White clips, I think, that ever was. In 2015, her and her now husband, John Friga, were standing in her pulpit on a Sunday morning. Now, she says that the reason why everybody was coming against her and Randy was because they took a stand against porn. But here's Paul and John telling people to watch porn.
Don't know what he likes, you know. Figure it out. Get a book. But go get the porn. Do something. Whatever. If he likes to watch porn with him. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to get where you gonna go. Figure it out.
Like a fell on the floor. Okay, I'm going to clear some stuff up because I know the church world. John and I don't watch porn. We have never watched porn together.
I stay in my own lane.
Okay, we don't. He doesn't watch porn without me because y'all are like that. And I'm gonna clear up because I know y'all just like breaking out. And we're not advocates of saying go outside, but what he's saying is educate yourself on sexuality. That's what he's saying. He's not saying get addicted to porn. He's saying educate yourself. If you're going to sit there and say, we don't know what to do, get educated.
You, they got tapes out now. They have tapes for couples. They can watch them.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm having some sound problems. I heard some funny things coming through the mic. But yeah, there they are. Paula and her husband, 2015, on a Sunday morning with children there in the sanctuary, which they call it a sanctuary, but it's not really a sanctuary because there's no protection in this place. Imagine going to a Sunday morning service with your two little children who are old enough to understand the word porn. And the pastor and her husband are telling you to watch porn. You're there with your teenage son or your teenage daughter, and the pastor is telling you to watch porn, and they're telling you that, you know, when you get married, you might not know what to do. So we're not telling you to get addicted to porn, but to educate yourself. Who is going to watch porn and educate themselves about sexuality? It's totally perverted. This is one of the most, I think I've never heard in my life something so perverted coming from a pulpit that for somebody, okay, maybe Reverend Ike or Jim Jones or somebody like that, you never knew what you were going to hear over there. But for somebody that claims, okay, and it's just a claim, but it's a false claim, somebody that claims to be a Christian and to be filled with God's Spirit, and to be born again. And I love Jesus so much. I love Jesus so much. You love Jesus so much that you would defame him in such a way that you would tell the married people of your church to watch pornography? It's ridiculous. Anyway, that video also, if you want to see the whole video, it's on YouTube. You can look up Paula White porn, or you can look up Paula White, Another Adulterous Marriage, and that channel, the Remnants channel, has the full video. I happened to be watching it that day. I saw it for myself. So she never talks about it. She never, you know, has come out with a statement to apologize or to deny it or whatever. But I saw it myself. I was watching it that day. I saw it. I heard it. And, Sister Shirley from the Remnants channel on YouTube, she has the full video of it. So, please. And this is the woman that's advising, spiritual advising. What spirit is it? What spirit are you advising? I wouldn't be taking counsel from any Jezebel. That's for sure. President Trump would do himself some good to get himself another spiritual advisor. That's for sure. Who would want someone like that advising you about spiritual matters when you don't even know yourself about spiritual matters? It can't get any crazier. It can't get any crazier. You know. There's no words. There's no words. I'm sure none of you in your life ever heard anything like that. Honestly. coming from your pastor. I'm sure. It was beyond belief. If I was sitting there like, did I hear that? I heard this. Wait a minute. Let me replay that because I'm telling you, I was dumbfounded. But we're going to do new programs on this subject because there's so much I want to kind of go over more some of the other things that she said in her book. But this is the last audio I'm going to play today, and she talks about loyalty here.
Advisor to the President of the United States right now. She advises him on religious, spiritual
things.
And, you know, and I admire... I come Brother Trump always said, I admire him.
Oh, yes.
For his loyalty to you.
Yes.
Because I know... Oh, come on, guys.
Oh, he is...
I know what... Real high church type church people sometimes. They don't want to be around us.
Apostle charismatic.
You know, charismatic type people. And so
he loves spirit-filled fire God. He would always watch your program. He would watch, he watched the most on fire Holy Ghost preaching. Yeah. And the first words
he told
out
me
of
he
his
watched
mouth,
it. He tell
yeah.
you he watched my show.
Oh, for years.
Over the years. I mean,
over the
when
years.
I, you know, I've
way,
been on for
from way back. Listen, when the first words out of his mouth when I get and I go on here, so Robin, his receptionist, gets on the line and talk about loyalty. To this day, there are employees around him that have been with him. The people in my building, and I have a Trump building, then we go into detail into that, because mm-hmm. every false thing that people think, I go into
right.
the detail
you
what
do.
Built, because you can't buy trust, you can't buy loyalty,
right.
and I say how God forged that relationship, but he's, the people in my building have been there 20, 30 years, on and on, but the first words out of his mouth, they go, first off, my, you know, over executive office goes, Mr. Trump, because Mr. Trump, then he's on the line, I'm like, yeah, right, no, Mr. Trump's on the line,
we're talking 18 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, sure, right, you know. And this is right before The Apprentice, it's, you know, early on,
oh, yeah.
so it's before. And I go, okay, sure. So I get on the line, and Robin, his receptionist, passed me in, and he said, you're fantastic. You've got the it factor. I go, oh, sir, we call that the anointing.
I know.
And it was just, he starts opening up, and he verbatim repeats to me three sermons. And I'm thinking to myself, he listens better than most of my people in my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, verbatim.
Right.
And then he goes into details. Of course, we know he starts telling me about different people. Oh, he's such a good orator, and
mm-hmm.
he really has strong spirit of God. And then, of course, he started in Presbyterian, then went to Norman, then St. Pills.
Yeah. She's talking about loyalty. You can't even be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his gospel. Oh, it's important for you to be loyal to Donald Trump because that's important to you because you can be seen and you can be known as the presidential spiritual advisor, but you have no loyalty to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. None. You're a scam artist, con artist, porn promoter. Please. Anyway, that's our program for today, but don't waste your time reading this book. Like I said, it should be called Something Stupid. It's a self-serving book. She tries to tell you that this book is about us. It's about you're something greater. It's not. It's a book about her. And it's a book about showing how she became close to the President of the United States. It's basically that she wanted to get that out there to a wider audience to achieve more fame and notoriety. But it could come back to bite you because she didn't get very good press on this book. There's different newspapers online, and you can also search those reviews for yourself and see. She didn't get good press on this book because they know that she's a false teacher. Maybe some people in the church don't know it yet, but the people in the world, they know it. And even people in the world would have some respect for a person that was honest and sincere, and they could see that honesty and sincerity. But they're not going to puff up somebody that they deem is a false teacher and a scam artist and a liar and a thief. They're going to call it like it is, and they do. So I would be careful about running around for fame when you don't have a good track record. And these things are out there. The audios are out there on the internet. There's hundreds of audios of her scamming techniques and her scripture twisting. They're out there, and they'll be out there forever until the internet is gone. You know, you never know when that's going to happen. But anyway, don't forget to pray for the President of the United States. Pray that he will get some godly counsel. I'm sure he does have some people around him that do know the Lord. She's not one of them. And just pray that he will not be taking counsel from her, and that he gets some really good, strong men of God that will minister to him and will really deeply care for him and for his soul and for his protection. We have to pray especially for his protection at this time. So God said to pray no matter who the president is, whether you like him or not. He is the president, and we do have to lift him up and pray for him. So, but don't forget now, the most important thing, because we talk about these people, and we don't want you to get the feeling that all Christians are alike, and they're not. God has wonderful people out there, people that have truly been born again. They know about the grace of God. They know about a changed life. They know about being a new creation. And but the most important thing is, don't look to people. Look to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. And heaven is a real place. I mean, most people know the story that Jesus ascended in a body. He went somewhere. And where he went was heaven. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you can be also. And so it's not difficult to get a brand new life from God, to be born again. You need to repent of your sins. And some people say, well, I didn't sin. I never did anything wrong. We all have sinned and come short of the glory. That's the first thing you have to realize, is that, yes, you're a sinner. And that's why you need a Savior. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you must confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and give us a brand new life. So get a Bible, read your Bible, and accept the free gift of eternal life today. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in around the world, my listeners in the United Kingdom and in Germany and France and Australia and Canada, the different nations of the world. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you all.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And some someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.